Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Thanks for joining us again, our second hour here on Circles of Change. In the spirit of this time of year, of course, it's all about education, keeping people moving forward, and it isn't just our students, it's also faculty administrators that are in a new space. So what a pleasure to bring someone on board who has gone through her own academic experiences, career experiences for 25 years, and now is based within one of our institutions at the University of Arizona. So Martha Van Gelder, welcome to the show.
Thank you for being here. It's such an honor.
Oh, it's an honor. We'll have a lot of fun. Martha is the director of the Terry J. Lundgren Center for Retailing. She serves as the PetSmart Professor of Practice in the Norton School of Family and Consumer Sciences at the University of Arizona. As one of the leading centers of retail excellence, the Lundgren Center offers a Bachelor of Science in Retailing and Consumer Sciences. It also serves as an important hub that links academia with the expertise of corporate advisory board of 30-some-odd retailers and technology services companies, as well as it houses six clubs that are focused on producing this next generation of retail leaders. Armed with a bachelor's from Skidmore College, which, by the way, Martha just came back from a college reunion, and an MBA from the Thunderbird School of International Management up in Phoenix, Martha has over 25 years of progressive profit and loss experience in a variety of senior executive consumer product licensing and retail development roles. She's worked for the Walt Disney Company, L'Oreal, Guyam, and Sesame Street. An international business development expert, therefore, Martha really has lived extensively overseas and launched and branded store concepts and products in diverse retail channels in over 35 countries. So no surprise she's fresh from back from vacation, but it isn't just one spot. It sounds like you hit eight different venues of some sort.
Yeah, I tried to make the most of the green and the 72 degrees and loving the rain. But, after listening to that introduction, it's really great to be back in Tucson because it's part of the reason is like that travel is exhausting and there's so much here and so much for me within a university setting that I'm really back.
Well, but you know, I have to imagine, though, your decision to accept or to cultivate an opportunity to join an academic university post such a wild career ride that took you to so many fascinating countries and in so many industries that were in such a rate of change. I mean, the Walt Disney Company, this was about launching their domestic U.S. content to foreign audiences, wasn't it?
Yes, and in Asia where, you know, it was really a time when the retail environment there was a bunch of small little dirty back rooms and we were going to bring it to the forefront. Great content, but, you know, how do we get it there? So I think one of the things that's been consistent about my career is jumping into things that, you know, may seem daunting to a lot of people, but I actually have an undergraduate degree in biology. So my science background actually served me well in just breaking it down in little pieces and trying to figure out the landscape. And then the international part was really to say, okay, I'm at a disadvantage. I'm in a foreign country. What do I need to do to make sure that I'm successful by finding the right type of support and colleagues and influences in those countries? So a little bit like that joining a university, actually, for me, after being in corporate for so long.
Well, I think there's also a tendency, if I can recall, because you and I, of course, have interacted before, this idea that you also like to go into places that are kind of greenfield, that there's nobody else's book you're picking up, that you're going to take it in a new place. Like the Sesame Street experience of taking Big Bird around the world. Where a big yellow canary doesn't work in some cultures, does it?
No, and thankfully there's a lot of talented people. So my job there was really to orchestrate all of the talent that was in our organization, be it from, you know, deciding how to develop a production with who, then negotiate it, then get it on the air, and then work in developing the ancillary products, which were all educational, into that market. So thankfully, you know, the company had been in business for 30 years and had some experience, but we went into new places where it was greenfield. And so I'd find myself talking to a minister of education. The next day I was talking to the toy manufacturer. The next day I was trying to figure out how to get into, you know, a local toy store. So it was fascinating, made me resilient. I wouldn't have traded it for the world.
Well, and also the tree, you know, the journey with Sesame Street, the workshops in particular, was as much about social change at the same time. You talked to me about Africa and that, you know, Sesame Street here in the States, the music, the quips about hugging one another and being friendly. I mean, hugs don't work amongst African children, do they?
No. Well, it, you know, especially when the company had gone into South Africa and were actually teaching preschool children about stigmatization of about AIDS. And so we were actually talking to them about, you know, that a hug was okay if their mom and dad had passed away from AIDS. So the company itself was, you know, it's groundbreaking. It's a non-profit. And my job was to figure out how to provide funding for those places that no other media company would go. So a lot of people are really surprised when they're saying it's not just the U.S. They had, you know, 30 co-productions over the years. And most of the time it was places where other media companies couldn't find the commercial value
to do it. So you were also involved in the cosmetic industry with the Redken products that were through very high-end salons and the like. There's your biology, I suspect, as well as the girl thing. I want the right products.
You'd
I know
be surprised
that.
How much science, and the company I worked for was based on science, so I had to discuss why a perm solution would work or not and why a certain color would actually cover gray hair or not. But you know, it was really funny, just, you know, being in a company where every day I had to have a good hair day. It was very stressful. But I worked with great people and, you know, hairdressers and salons and people involved in that creative have got great hearts. And so it was really fun. And then my job was to help them to understand how to make their businesses more successful. So that was really appealing to small businesses within a big company because they needed to thrive and make more money and still have that creative outlet. But they didn't really want to know about the business. So we had to go in and help them with that. So
we're speaking with Martha Van Gelder, and she's currently director of the Terry J. Lundgren Center for Retailing. So, my gosh, does University of Arizona realize what they got when they hired you into this role? My goodness, I mean, this the blend of your background experience working with small, medium business, large business, the global nature of it, which, of course, our youth, so many of them appreciate that some way, somehow, they got to go global. This is like a match made in heaven, but yet it was sort of a, in some way, an encore for you at this important phase of your life.
Yes, and I think it's interesting to note that there's a number of centers of excellence at the University of Arizona, and this has been an established center for a while. An alumni named Terry Lundgren, who's the CEO of Macy's, had brought his name and influence to the center. But it was at a time where, you know, about three years ago, that we were looking for some new directions and to think, you know, I had the ability to think up outside the box because I didn't have the confines of what we had done for last 10 years. I didn't have the confines of the university, another greenfield for me. So, you know, I was hoping, and hopefully it's true, that I was bringing some perspective to students about, I just saw the interview with that you had with Alexandra Levitt, what the real world is like. And, you know, there's really wonderful things about it, but there's a lot of things you need to know. So I always call myself the person who was the hiring manager in the building, but mentor was never officially in my job description, and now it is. So, you know, coming into university where things, you know, move much more slowly than a corporate world is, you know, I've had to change. And so that's been a good learning lesson for me. And hopefully some of the ideas that I can bring together with a small but very powerful team is going to be beneficial to the university. And my role is really to bring resources to the university where, of course, any public university now has challenges in terms of resources and budget cuts. And so if we can involve industry and get the best out of people who really care, to bring them into the classroom and to help find them jobs and just help them think more strategically and critically, then I've done my job.
Well, on top of that, too, of course, this idea, it's an interesting prospect to bring practitioners into the classroom. I've had the pleasure of that throughout my 25, 30 years. And you always left the classroom being so energized. Mm-hmm. And you realize that some of the day-to-day things we're stuck with in the corporate world, they kind of, not that they aren't important, but put them in perspective. You go into the classroom, you realizing somewhere in that classroom, sometimes in front of 300 students, there might be the future you there. Mm-hmm. And so the opportunity to impact the youth. But the other important thing I feel from the faculty sense, particularly those who've been inside a university for so many years, is they know they can't possibly share that kind of insights with nearly the authenticity that some of your guest speakers can.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing about, you know, retail, it's a huge, huge industry. So we look at it from all the way back to the supply chain to the impact of the consumer. So we can bring people, and technology is really driving that. So we cannot keep a curriculum up to date in this particular subject, nor would we want to. So we have a great, you know, depth. We've got research faculty. We've got great teaching faculty and adjunct faculty. So if we put on the special sauce of industry, then we really believe that, you know, we're actually following the path that the new president, Ann Weaver Hart, has really put together, which is about experiential learning. And it's about, you know, really making sure that our students are ready and that we get industry support.
Now, you said something that caught my eye about curriculum that we don't want to create. So, I mean, that's so antithetical to most institutions, whether whatever year we're talking about, K through 12 plus postgraduate, et cetera. It's the idea of creating a framework and keeping it stable and be able to add to it and do lessons learned. But as we know, the retailing industry, it's game over almost every 6 months about something new that's hitting them, whether it be the latest cybersecurity crash that's going after credit cards, to now people buying off mobile, to, gee, I'm not so sure I even want to go into an Abercrombie & Fitch when I can go buy this right off the internet.
I mean, the wonderful program at the University of Arizona that we support is Retailing Consumer Sciences.
Nice.
So that has to keep us current in terms of what's happening to the consumer, because they are now in charge. So the curriculum, there's always going to be a place for retail math. But, you know, in terms of keeping subjects current, you'll find that, you know, textbooks are being used less and less. Case studies are more appropriate.
At the undergraduate level.
Yeah, the undergraduate level. So that's a program we support. So I think the faculty is already thinking that way. But real time, it's great to bring somebody in who's in charge of what we're calling omnichannel business, or to have somebody in from the solution side that's going to talk about, you know, how does this mobile, how do we acquire this data, how is it safe, and what is it going to do to impact our business. But there are some sensitivities around, certainly, but the retail industry and privacy right now, which are also intellectually interesting, challenging, and, you know, the industry has got to really make sure that they're addressing that properly.
Well, and particularly because this isn't an industry, meaning consumer family sciences, that can work on this in isolation, because you've got whole upheavals in the financial services industry and requirements to know if we can do this stuff. Then you've got the techies that are actually creating the technology, which might be slightly in advance of us figuring out the world, the rules of the road. So, you know, the fact you're here in the Wild West, it's perfect. That's exactly how we operate here.
And, you know, and Tucson's not exactly on anybody's direct flight map. So one of the things that the industry really does love to do, as you mentioned, just come into the classroom, whether they're an alumni or not, and understand. And because it's getting more technologically diverse and interesting, it's really about, you know, having a great cross-section of diverse students, really smart students who are excited about it and develop a passion. It's one of those industries that, you know, you're going to work hard. You know, you're going to, you know, be possibly there on weekends or, you know, nights. And that's a shock for students. I tell them that about any career. Yes, 5 days a week, and you go in every day and you earn your vacations. But it's something that, you know, if we can get students that are used to resiliency and change and the dynamic side of it and are excited by that, then we'll all do well. It's going to impact, it impacts 1 out of 4 jobs in the U.S. So it's, you know, a $2 trillion business. So there's some great metrics. I'm a board member of the National Retail Foundation, the Federation Foundation Board, and our whole job is to, you know, develop visibility to careers and to attract really smart students into that and provide scholarships and training for them. So,
well, I would say this is one particular chunk of industry, by the way, that the kind of job descriptions that were anchors and career progressions in the past, they've been completely blown up.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't even name some of these jobs or dream them up, but for 6 months or a year ago.
Right. So, you know, between marketing analytics and looking at big data, you know, it's no longer, you know, customer service doesn't happen just when you want to return things. You know, looking at the mobile site, marketing, there's a whole jobs where we're just, you know, thinking about social media, loss prevention, you know, buying and planning. And so some of the things that we work with is parents and letting them know that, you know, yes, a store manager is going to be making 6 figures. And if it's a very large store, you know, $350,000 in some places. So we bust a lot of myths. And we also, you know, talk about the fact that students are going to be managing, you know, tens of millions of dollars once they're out of school a couple years because it's a big volume business. And the other thing we are doing too, which is why I love being here in Tucson, is there is a growing rank of entrepreneurs. who are looking to say, okay, I need this training to understand what I need to get into retail, whether it's being a designer and being able to sell and negotiate for your product, or whether it's creating value right here. And so one of our faculty members, Scott Hessel, is working with the downtown Tucson Downtown Partnership, and we're going to be doing a store pop-up type of course where they're going to learn how to plan and they're going to learn how to sell, and there's a competition, but working with empty spaces and, you know, thinking about the next entrepreneurships as well. So I'm really excited about that, the fact that we're looking at a local side of this, mm-hmm. a national side, and a global side, because our students, whatever they're excited about, there's something there for them.
So the type of students that are being attracted to the Lundgren Center and the programs, granted mm-hmm. it's a relatively mm-hmm. new center, mm-hmm. have you seen any shifts in the nature of the students that are coming to you just yet?
Well, you know, I think so. One of the things that we have seen a shift is more towards interested in store management.
Store management.
That's running your own business. Mm-hmm. And if you think about everything that you're charged with in terms of running a store and leadership qualities, you don't just walk into, you know, a Target store and decide that, you know, what are we going to do today? Everyone's got to be on point. Everyone's got to be motivated. And students who maybe don't want to sit in the corporate world are finding that you know, this is a path. It's well compensated, and they love the leadership part. They love, you know, running a business. So it's had some stigma in the past, and it's a great career. And
yeah, or it was something you did in high school,
yeah.
but not when you get into the
yeah.
real world. The other side of it is I've coached several young professionals who'd like to get in the corporate side of retailing, mm-hmm. but we've talked about the necessity mm-hmm. to go be out there in the field
yeah.
before you go where they might need oxygen to survive a
That's
little
exactly
bit.
Right. So, you know, now where the consumer comes in armed with, you know, more information than the sales associate, mm-hmm. you need really great people in those positions to be that face of impact. They may not buy there, but, you know, that may be part of their journey and their path to purchase. And so that's what's so exciting about the retail industry right now. They may be, you know, showrooming, but they're already seeing the pricing online. You know, they're going to ask you, you know, the features
Explain
and benefits.
Explain that term showrooming, because
yeah,
some listeners
showrooming,
may not know what that means.
It used to be a little bit more scary, but now retailers are coming to terms with it. Showrooming was really the fact that somebody would come into the store, they'd see something online and say, well, I need to still touch it or feel it, and they come into the store and look at it, and then actually sometimes while they're in the store on their mobile phone looking for comparative prices.
At another store.
At another store, and it yeah. used to be, you know, the big fear that this was bad for business, but they've really become to realize that give the customer what they want. That's where the future of the business is going, and if you do so, you know, they're going to have a great experience with you. So it's better to leave having a great experience, you know, and now what's happening now, of course, we can give them, you know, offers while they're still there, or they can, you know, match prices, and or they have tablets so they can go in and go a little bit deeper conversation. So the idea is to engage them, keep them within the realm of where you're going to sell, but, you know, make sure they have a good experience even if they are showrooming. And, you know, if they're informed and, you know, you've got an opportunity to talk to them about something else, if they're in the store. So mm-hmm. it's complex, but training of the sales associates and store management, to your point, is hugely important.
Well, and also know that ground all around them is changing, too.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's right. So we're speaking again with Martha Van Gelder. She's director of the Terry J. Lundgren Center for Retailing and a PetSmart Professor of Practice. I love that title, Professor
Don't say
of
it too
Practice.
Quickly.
I was going to say triple P, but Professor of Practice, mm-hmm. that truly is important, that yeah. again, ground this practitioner expertise that you can welcomely bring
right.
into the classroom.
In the university world, it is used in different ways. There are people who have been in academia all their careers, and they would have that title more in a teaching focus. For me, I thought it was very appropriate because, you know, I'm talking to students in terms of having independent studies, or, you know, what's the practical side of you know, being in business, or where can they find resources? And so, sometimes it's a matter of me just, you know, sending a note to somebody and say, you know, speak to the student from outside of Tucson and the university world. So if I can bring in my resources, that's a good practice too.
Yeah, that's right. So would you ever have envisioned that you'd step off the frequent flyer track, shall we say, find yourself, you know, in the beautiful desert of Arizona and inside higher education? I mean, it sounds like a convolution of wonderful experiences you've had that have led you to a perfect match scenario.
If you had asked me 5 years ago, I would say no. I think I just came to a point where I was finding my work somewhat transactional, mm-hmm. and I was always happy in a setting where it was more educational. And so I was a president of a private equity company, and it was very transactional. And I said, you know, I don't think this is it. This is not kind of large enough or deep enough. So I've had a home in the desert for 10 years, and I said, I wonder if there's anything that would accommodate my interests. So I'm finding a lot of my friends, my college reunion, and talking to people that I'm catching up with now, or for people in their 50s, meaning and cultural relevance is just meaning so much more. So it brought my interest in education, my love of mentorship, and I fell in love with the desert the second I hit Arizona. I don't know why, but I did so, and I had a house here, and so it you know, all came together. But I think it's, you know, it's a great place for people who are, you know, possibly thinking about what they might do with a corporate career, to look at those, for those jobs on the university that are impacting students and careers, and, you know, come into the classroom. So if there are people listening who have retail or sales experience, you know, contact me. It's a great place to connect, and there's so much learning going on all the time. That's the second thing. I'm just a lifelong learner, and my bucket list was to be part of a community. Mm-hmm, so what better community than a university?
Than a university. Yeah. That's exactly right, and I think you find that more and more people that are taking those encore steps in their career, mm-hmm. that particularly the importance of a real-time community, not just one that's on some kind of screen,
yeah.
To allow that bounce back, that mind share that can happen.
And, you know, it's been, humbling, just like my yoga practice. It's my, you know, favorite way to get humbled. And I feel that way about the university. Sometimes I'll just be amazed at students, what they can accomplish if you just set the bar higher.
Yeah, higher. Exactly. Set the bar higher and then get out of their way.
Exactly.
So they can do it and they can challenge you in the practice. Yeah. We've been speaking with Martha Van Gelder, who's at Terry J. Lundgren. She's at the Center of Retailing here at the University of Arizona. So what's next?
Well, I'm hoping to, I'm looking at a few projects that I have in my side that are, you know, thinking about the phase of life that I'm in, and how communities are sharing, and how women in particular are sharing. So I'm thinking about some of those ideas. I'll come back and talk to you when that's more spelled out. But I think for the center, what I would like to do is to spend some time using our resources to talk to more students on the University of Arizona. We just had a very large diversity conference, because that is mm-hmm. an issue in retail.
Sure.
And it's also a tool and a set of tools for students. So more impact and programs at the university, and hopefully more resources to come.
I think also the model that you folks and you and your colleagues have established here, that this pulling industry folks into the university, creating clubs and venues for leadership development, those are all methodologies that benefit every single discipline at the university level.
Right.
Regardless of what the curriculum
is. The university is a good place, a soft place to fail. We encourage,
yeah,
you know,
that's right.
You know, if we see failure, you know, I let them go down the road, and they'll come back, and it's what you make of it. And that's a great lesson for students. You know, that's the best learning. And, you know, parents don't necessarily let you do that, but good mentors do.
Absolutely. That's exactly part of learning. Well, Martha, thank you so much for joining us here on Circles of Change. A great time of year to step forward with another focus on shifting the way we educate our youth,
mm-hmm.
and also what they teach us in the process, particularly
Absolutely.
The practitioners.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
My pleasure. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation, or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.